Archman, Tony Schaefer, powered by Six Hour, never settle. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. I always carried the best. I suggest you carry the best of Six Hour today. I'm going to talk about a couple of guns. One of them is my favorite carry weapon, P365, with the Wilson Combat Grips. I love this thing. This thing literally will fit in my pocket. So the P365, not the XL, which is selling very well, I hear. It's a great weapon. But I like the standard 365. Boy, I've got 13 rounds. The one I'm showing right now has got the 12-round mag plus one in the chamber. 13 rounds of 9mm. Great weapon. Never settle. I don't. You shouldn't. So 6 hour, never settle. We're on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, also available on the America Out Loud Podcast Network. Check us out, Project Sentinel, projectsentinel.com.net. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Rumble, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we are joined today for this special episode of The Hard Truth with my friend, former Congressman Kerry Bentivoglio. Kerry, welcome to The Hard Truth.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on. God bless you and your listeners. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Really, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you again.
So it's really great that you're actually talking to us from the field, since we're going to be talking about survival. And what I wanted to start off with is first off, just for the audience to know, we are real friends. We actually, can I say this? We like each other. Is that safe? Is that, can I say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No problem.
And so we've actually worked on a number of things when he was a member of Congress after he's come out. And he's done a book, which I found very interesting when he sent me the copy. As a matter of fact, as soon as he was like, oh my gosh, we got to get him on. The Family Emergency / Disaster Preparedness Plan, also known as the antidote to the Democrat Party, but I digress. I'm going to get in so much trouble for that. Oh my God, I'm going to get the mail on that. Anyway, at myreadiness.org. And this is a book, and we'll let Kerry talk about it. Preparedness involves a continuous process of planning, equipping, training, and exercising. Isn't that the case? And by the way, Kerry is a Vietnam veteran. We're both veterans, so we understand about planning, about survival, about training, and exercising. Planning for thunderstorms, tornadoes. What's that?
Well, I said I served also in Iraq in 07.
That's right. So he's a combat veteran of multiple wars. And we'll talk more about that. We can get to that. Anyway, but planning for thunderstorms, tornadoes, flash floods, snowstorms, blizzards, hazmat, and even the occasional Democrat politician. Again, I'm digressing, but I'm not completely joking about that.
I love it. This is great.
So, but emergency preparedness requires identifying a place to shelter, maintaining supplies or emergency essentials, and being familiar and monitoring your community warning system and establishing a process to account for family members, neighbors, and employees. So it's got everything. It's available on Amazon. And again, the name is the Family Emergency Disaster Preparedness Plan, myreadiness.org. So our audience, Kerry, is very loyal. They like stuff like this. Now, full disclosure, I'm sitting in my house in North Carolina. I've got a bit of a 3 acres. It's a big house. But in my house, I've got enough food for my son and me to last at least, I don't know, probably 30 to 60 days. I've got emergency kits. I've got emergency water. I've got emergency guns. I've got a backup generator that runs on propane. We could probably run this thing. I've got a 500-gallon tank. I could probably, with the supplies I have, last without having to go out of the house or off the property for at least 30 days. And most people where I live think the same way. Do you think that's too extreme, or do you think that's about right for what people should be prepared to do?
Yeah, if it depends on your risk factor, right? If you live in an earthquake zone, you might have a different risk factor. Or the seashore, right? Or a river that floods, those kind of things. The one thing I want to point out, you said you have a home generator, correct?
I do. 14 kilowatts.
Okay. What size is that generator?
14 kilowatts. It can run the entire household.
Right. Okay. 14 kilowatts. Well, run your 500 gallon.
14,000 kilowatts. Sorry. 14,000 kilowatts.
Yeah. 14K. Okay.
Yeah.
So your 14K generator, and I'm just estimating here, I didn't do the calculations, but with a 500-gallon propane tank, you may last about a week, if that.
Is that right?
If it runs
that fast. Wow.
Yeah, if it runs 24/7. Now, what we tell people is, look, here's the thing. It takes about 3 days to figure out, unless you know immediately, what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a power outage, it could come on. Like up here in Michigan, we'll have a snowstorm or an ice storm or high winds and knock down power lines. We could be out downstate where I actually live. We could be out of power from anywhere from a day, or actually from 5 minutes, excuse me, to probably 2 weeks, I think was the longest. All right.
Yeah.
We have a 18K generator. All right. And we have a 1,000-gallon propane tank. Now, what you can do is, if you need that to run, if you have a sump pump for water in your basement, freezers and refrigerators, those are the things you're going to probably need to keep cold and water pumping out of your basement, right? So there's a couple things you can do.
I'm in North Carolina, so we don't have basements because we have crawl spaces. As the soil here is too wet for basements. So.
I understand. All right. So primarily your needs are going to be keeping that food cold and frozen, right? So let's say you set up a plan, and what you do is you run your generator for about an hour after you open your freezer, all right? When you open your freezer, you take out what you're going to need for that day to thaw out, right? Close the freezer, start the generator, run it for an hour. That food will stay frozen for at least 24 hours.
That's true. No, I've got a deep freezer, and I know that for a fact. Those things stay very well insulated. Yeah.
Right. So what you do is you can then go with a 500-gallon propane tank. You could probably go a year. All right. You could grow as long as that. Every time you open that freezer, you're going to let, especially if it's a front opening a freezer, you're going to lose a lot of that cold air through the bottom when you open the door. If it's a chest freezer, you're really, you're doing well, right?
Yeah.
You're doing very good. So that's what I recommend that you do if you think the power is going to be out for longer than a couple days, right? You can extend.
And so people can get this from your book, right? I mean, this is all going to be stuff that's talked about in your book, right?
Yes, and more. But there's what we're doing is, Amazon is a wonderful publisher, okay? Because I can, if I see a mistake or a change, which we did find, or I want to add something to it, it takes 48 hours for them to revise the book and put it out there again.
That's great.
So that's a really neat deal with Amazon. And in the book, just to say, there's quite a few other things, like if you want to know what wood's best, these are questions that people always ask, right? Kerry, I'm prepping. What kind of firewood do I need? I said, well, you know, the best wood is oak or orange tree, right? But you don't get orange trees up in Michigan. Unless you want frozen orange juice, and then you won't get any more. But you can, what was I saying? I'm sorry, I lost track. There's so many things to cover.
Okay. Look, I know about the wood. The wood here is pine, and it like, if you don't burn it the first year, it starts degrading. I mean, it literally will just fall apart. It's like pulp almost.
Well,
it's terrible.
Oak doesn't necessarily do that. Good oak wood, for instance. That'll last a lot longer. Plus, it gives more BTUs than pretty much any other wood. So we put a list in there of best wood you can use. We put a list in there of how to filter water and how to test it, as well as, and this is, you don't have to send away a test or send for a test kit, right? Or send your water to some place to have it tested. You can get those test kits online, again, on Amazon or other places, that are pretty reasonable to test, not only for bacteria, but also arsenic and other chemicals.
Well, you know, I've got a Berkey water filter here. It's in my emergency kit. One of those big old Berkey filter things with the charcoal.
Excellent idea. Understand, a Berkey does not necessarily eliminate all the bacteria that comes if you're going to use rainwater.
I get that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to, chlorinate the water, depending on how much water you're going to use, how much, you know, there's a procedure to add how much bleach or chlorine you want to add to your water to kill the bacteria, right?
Yeah.
Depends on the gallons. And then you filter that through a regular old pool filter sand, activated charcoal, which you can buy wholesale really cheap. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Go to your fish aquarium pet store where they sell the activated charcoal you put in an aquarium. You're just going to pay a premium for that. And that will filter the chlorine out of the water that you just chlorinated. And if you still are still hesitant, boil the water for at least 2 minutes, right? And you'll kill everything.
So again, this is something in the book. I think people need to actually internalize this and prepare for the worst. And I'm going to say a couple of things now that I think people need to understand. Even though you and I, like, you're out in the middle of the country, I'm kind of in the country. I mean, I'm away from, you know, our city. The whole county here is 14,500 people, so we're away from everything. But my point being is that one of your points that you talk about, and I read this, is organization. One of the, I think, strongest elements of your book is having an understanding with your neighbors and friends of, hey, what if things go bad, we need to work together, right? I mean, that's a key component of survival.
That's correct. But here's the problem. A lot of people are dealing with normalcy bias, believing that it won't happen to them, right?
I know that.
And yet it happens time again. I was the first one in my neighborhood to buy the home generator, right? Because I was going to, we do have power outages where I live downstate, could last a couple days or a couple weeks. And when I went to Iraq, I wanted to make sure, you know, my wife wouldn't pull out the Honda generator, the portable, and know what to hook up to. And pulling the cord, she was a little stressed about that. So that's why I got the home generator. Starts right up. I'm replacing it.
Yeah.
But this is the key is, just being ready for anything. It's like buying life insurance. You know, you hope you never need it, which you will need, right? Or health insurance, car insurance, home insurance. You hope you never need it. But when it happens, you're glad you have it. And it's the same thing with prepping. So what? You know, it won't happen, right? It's not going to happen to me. Okay. Well, if you got 60 days worth of supplies, you're going to get through the worst. Unless it's for something more drastic, which a lot of my folks are concerned now, that's going to be a lot more drastic than simple snowstorm or tornado.
My ex-brother-in-law, who we're still friendly with, obviously, he came down and wanted to know, and I showed him how much food I set aside, how much, I've got about 1,000 rounds of ammo for each of my each caliber weapon. I've got literally, I got a ton literally of toilet paper and paper towels from Costco that I use. It's for barter. It's like, no, it's not all for me. If something happens, I've got a stash. And by the way, I think you understand this, real material become essentially currency in a crisis. I mean, you know, I've got a gold coin. It's like, yeah, but I got toilet paper. It's just like,
yeah, what do you want? Right. Well,
yeah, what do you want?
That's an issue for a lot of people. Let me explain something. Gold and silver is a good thing to have. Unfortunately, let's look at today's prices, and it's going to be inflated in a really bad situation like economic collapse or something, right?
Right.
Now, if you want to go there, let's go there. So let's assume that gold is $2,000 an ounce. That's one little coin. Silver is about $25 an ounce, okay? So I drive up to a gas station. The guy's willing to sell me gas for $50 a gallon, right? That's outrageous. So do I give him a gold coin? He's going to have to give me change. How's he going to give me change?
Right.
That gold coin's probably worth $5,000 an ounce, right? So here's the deal. Silver is the best thing to have, but like you said, you can't, I'm not going to eat silver, right?
Nope.
But what will happen, right? What will happen is after you've done your trading, the initial shock in maybe 30 or 60 days, people start finding ways, figuring out ways to survive relatively comfortably, right? That's when gold and silver is going to be the form of exchange, because it's easier for me to handle silver coins than it is 10 bushels of apples, right? You want to trade me 10 bushels of apples, I'll give you gold and silver for it, and then he can take that gold or silver somewhere and trade that for lumber that somebody has, and it's reasonable. You can deal with it. First 30 right. to 60 days, maybe even 90 days, it's going to be food, water, and shelter. We get right. it. And this is what I tell my friends. This is always, well, if something happens, I'm coming to your house. I said, look, I'm a Christian, right? I believe in helping people out. But here's the deal. I told you to build a boat, and you ignore, because it's going to rain, and you decided not to. I'm sorry, I'm not taking any food out of the mouths of my grandchildren and my children to feed somebody who didn't want to listen. Right. You know, you suffer from normalcy bias. It's not my problem. Have a nice day, right?
Yeah.
And then there's four weapons. We 9mm, okay, 5.56, 22, and double odd buck. Which do you want? Right?
Yeah, look. No. So that's my point. So this is currency. You know, I've got 9mm bullets here. This becomes currency, and that, you know, bullets are fungible, right? I mean, it's a fungible resource. Yeah.
But just so you know, listening to what you just said earlier, and my friends, you're about 4,000 rounds short of what you need.
Probably. Well, remember, Gary, I'm actually surrounded by former tiered unit guys.
Okay.
We're all fairly well versed in arms. So anyway, let's continue with the conversation now, because clearly this the very concept that you and I are discussing requires a fundamental change in how we think, right? I mean, you've got, like you said, there's a bias to a lot of people. It's like, oh, it can't happen to me. I'm not worried about it. But if it happens, I'm just going to come suck off you, right? That's kind of the attitude, right?
Exactly. And I'm not going to be there to help you. In fact,
right.
You're going to have, if you want to forcibly gain entry or access to what I have, you've got to go through immediate setups, right? I gave a couple of years ago, I gave a prepping class at a VFW hall that can only seat 50 people. And I printed out a bunch of those. An older version doesn't have as much in it as it does now, but of that book, right? And for $20, covers the cost, they get pizza. And I gave a class that was 4 hours long. They did not want to leave, about prepping. And one of the questions was, how do I protect my house? Okay. So somebody's, while you're at the front of the house being distracted, somebody's coming in through a bedroom window, right?
Right, right.
And you know what a nail bed is? You see them in the old Indian, nail beds? Well, you take a piece of plywood, you know, OSB, 5/8 or a half inch thick, and you nail a bunch of 16 penny nails through one side every 2 inches. And you put that about a foot on each side of your bedroom window, and you nail it down. Somebody comes in through that window, what are they going to step on? Right. And these folks were amazed. They said, how do you think of this stuff? I said, well, I don't, it's just, it's out there. This is what people have done. And I've been looking at this after leaving Washington. I realized that my number one goal was to prep, because there's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that got their head where the sun doesn't shine. Can I say that?
I think so. Well, you and I share that experience dealing with some of those knuckleheads, to be polite. Let's move in that direction. So, no, I think I want everybody to understand that this is a practical guide. Your book, Family Emergency / Disaster Preparedness Plan, myreadiness.org, is a very important tool to actually help reset your framework for understanding the worst case scenario. Is that a good summary of a way to kind of summarize that, Kerry?
Yes. And just so people know, making this book is not going to make me rich, right? It's more.
No, I know.
The attitude we had was to basically help people get started, because there's a lot of people out there that have no idea what to do. And this is it's a good start. And if you want to take it further with long-term disaster, it's the information is there. You just have to apply it. Now, there's a warning here I have to give people. Preparing for anything and everything is a bottomless pit. Okay. I mean, you can go to the extreme. If I can, we have this where I'm at now in Northern Michigan. We have an off-grid test site where we are testing theories and practicality in a worst case scenario, other than building a bunker, because we just can't afford to build a bunker for a nuclear attack.
Yeah, right. I get that.
But we have, we're actually getting donated some of these radio towers that were decommissioned and taken down. And we're putting our ham radio antenna, internet access on this site. We have collect rainwater and well water, as I said earlier. We're also looking at the soil up here is very sandy. It's terrible.
Yeah, no, I know.
Soil.
So how close are you to Camp Grayling, by the way? I spent a lot of time at Camp Grayling when I was up there.
Yes. Okay. Well, that I did too. That's probably why I like being up here.
I'm sure we did. Yes.
Yes. So Camp Grayling is, I don't want to give away my location, but let's just put it this way. It's 80 miles east or west of us. Let's put it that way.
That's good. All right. That's good. That's fair.
We're at the same line that Highway 612 is, but you'll be hard pressed to find us. And because we're surrounded by about 20 square miles of Second Amendment hunt camps, right? We'll probably be the last place you want to visit. Or can get to, for that matter. Yeah. Far out.
Kerry, I spent time at Grayling in the woods. I mean, we used to train up there hard. And I was a second lieutenant, and I ran aggressors. I was the guy running aggressors. And at one point, I had two cases of beer on my head if they could kill or capture me while I was running my aggressors. So it was great.
You might have been one of those guys we were practicing with.
Probably. Oh, my God. I could tell you some stories about some of the antics I pulled while I was there. So it was fun. But, and by the way, you may have had this too. The Canadians came down. They actually gave me a platoon of Canadian Army guys who were my aggressors, kind of my troops. Yeah. It was great. So,
yeah, you probably were the aggressors on some of our war games that we've had up here.
No, I would come and we would come up and help the CAV take their vehicles out of cantonment. I would actually be the driver. I want to drive. You be the TC. I would put the kid who's supposed to drive up to be the TC, and I would drive, because those 113s were fun. I loved driving those 113s through Grayling. Those were that was a blast.
Yeah, we drove. I started out with MPs, and then 105s, and then we went to MLRS the Bradley chassis. Right.
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah.
You take the tank trail. That's like you'll never have to go to Cedar Point in your life. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyway, but I think the point you're making is, well, regarding just the fact that when within the context of the basic manual and the framework you're teaching, it's something that people just need to understand that life. What is that saying? Is life can, you know, the commercial with mayhem, like mayhem can sneak up on you, and you don't want mayhem to be your partner in a time when you don't have power, energy, internet, or any of that stuff. It's a practical way of being prepared, right?
Yes. And, you know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of spouses that aren't always in line.
Yeah.
And what's kind of funny is, my wife is, you know, we've been married 47 years, right? So she's like my best friend. But here's the thing is the power goes out, right? Power goes out. And the home generator kicks in. And she's sitting back in the chair when she's waiting. She's waiting for that generator to work. She's not sure it's going to work. And all of a sudden it kicks on, the lights came back on. And she gives this like, that's great. So it was like she didn't have to do anything. thing. And then
your life pays off. Karen, there you go.
Yeah. My son-in-law is a coffee drinker, right? And he comes over, he's over for Easter with the family, the whole thing. This is like a couple years ago. And the wife says, "We're out of coffee." So I have to go to the pantry, you know, our little stash. And I bring up a can of coffee and I say, "Here you go." She says, "How many cans we got left?" I said, 8. She says, "Oh, we got to get some more." So she knows, right? She keeps a rotating, rotating stack of food so that hopefully we won't run out. And we've designed this in such a way. I told my daughter and son-in-law, they're concerned. I said, "Don't worry about it. We got you covered. Your biggest problem is getting from where you live to where we live, which is about 26 miles. But if in a really bad situation, 26 miles can take you a couple of days.
I know that. I know that. So good. Anyway, but hey, look, Harry, we're going to take a break. Yeah. This has been our first half of the hour, first half an hour of the full hour. You're going to stick around for this part 2 of the show. We're going to get a little bit more into the at the time we're taping this, we're just coming out of a 9-0 decision, keeping Donald Trump on the ballot in Colorado. Hoorah. That Griswold, how do you get crazy eyes like that? Oh, no, don't answer that. I don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about that in the second part of the show. And then the primaries. We just finished the primaries, too. So anyway, so stand by. We'll be right back after this break with part 2 of The Hard Truth with Tony Schaefer. We'll be right back.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to americaoutloud.shop. That's americaoutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Hey, this is the Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer, part two. We're joined by the rest of the team right now. We're talking today with Kerry Bentivoglio, the author of Family Emergency / Disaster Preparedness at MyReadiness.org. Congressman Bentivoglio, retired NCO, Sergeant Master Sergeant Bentivoglio, is here to talk about his experience and what's going on. We're joined. Oh, real quick before I forget, shout out to our friend Cherie Curry. Cherie does our bumper and theme music. So God bless you, Cherie. She's off looking for her own version of survival, right? Right, Chris? She's out in the middle looking for looking for a new life.
That's right. Somewhere right. to go. Yes.
And this is public too. She's got it on her Facebook, so we're not giving away secrets here. She's out looking around. So
yes, leaving the land of
Kerry, she may be buying your book. Yes, we're gonna send Cherie a copy of your book. How about that, Chris?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think she'd like that.
I'm gonna get a couple of copies. I'm gonna do that. So anyway, so we are joined in the second half of the show by the titular Chris Cordani and the theatrical. That's right. The theatrical. Elizabeth Breckenkamp. So welcome both. Welcome y'all.
Hello.
Y'all welcome. So we're continuing our conversation with Kerry, and I'll start off and you guys can jump in. So Kerry, one of the notable features, and I know you don't want to get political, but in this political circus that we're facing right now, we've had some real interesting things happen over the past few days. We had, at the time we're taping, the 90, who gets 90 rulings of the Supreme Court? Basically, the Supreme Court ruled that Secretary of State Griswold, and my God, how do you get crazy eyes like that? Is there something in the water? I mean, it's like I wish I could have eyes like that so I could just go freak people out. I mean, how do you do that? I don't know. Anyway, but
it's all those vacation.
So what do you think, Kerry? What do you make of the 9-0 ruling for Trump on this? And
great.
Boy, I can tell you, great. The progressives went nuts.
Mm-hmm. They're pulling their hair out. I'm sure of it. Yep.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Well, I stated this when they first started. I said, they can't do that. That's totally. And it's not because I don't like, feelings. It's I knew in my heart. I used to, as a high school teacher, I taught the Constitution. Right. And I said, well, according to the left only uses the Constitution when it suits them. And exactly. A lot of Republicans will use the Constitution when it suits them, too. But here's the deal. You cannot do that, as far as I'm concerned, constitutionally, for my interpretation. And I'm not on the Supreme Court, and I'm not a lawyer. And that's probably the best qualities to have to understand the Constitution, right? Because you have to look at, like this part about shall not be infringed. What part of that don't you understand? You know what infringement means? You can't mess with it any way, shape, or form, right? Yeah. But of course they do. The states get away with it. I don't know how they get away with it, but they do.
So I'm gonna, one more thing, then I'm gonna open it up to Chris and Elizabeth. But you might notice I'm wearing my America Samoa University shirt, because I don't know if you know, Kerry, because you're in the wild. American Samoa Joe Biden did not win the primary in American Samoa. And so my question to you, do you think Joe Biden has a chance of becoming president again without American Samoa voting with him?
Well, according to his doctor, he's not capable of being president because he can't stand trial. So that kind of is a dead giveaway. I mean, right? He quoted the younger generation. Duh. What part of that don't you understand? Yeah. So I think he's going to crash and burn. The thing I'm concerned about is they hate Trump so much that they might want to do him harm, and that's going to create it's going to be terrible. Trust me. But I don't know if good Christian constitutional conservatives will do anything about it. But I will tell you this right now, we the people believe that if anything happened to him, it was orchestrated by bad actors within the government, and there's going to be hell to pay. So I'm, just let's understand something here. I think Trump did a great job. What, unfortunately, there's a part of me that has a little, he endorsed my opponent, looking at my credentials. So, Trump, stop endorsing people.
No, I'm just telling you, he stopped doing the endorsements in the primary because I think he started getting burned on stuff. Just saying. And by the way, before we leave American Samoa, since American Samoa is a pretty cool place, I've heard, I've never been there. Apparently, Kerry, this is the first time a sitting president has ever lost a primary in 44 years. So as much as I'm joking about it, the Democrats are actually kind of freaking out about this.
Huh. Well, this is not just a primary loss, okay?
Well,
this is a loss to somebody named Jason Palmer, who's not really running for president.
It's better than Harry Palmer, right? Just saying.
Right. And keep in mind the other also rans there, the Marianne Williamsons of the world. Didn't do anything over at the caucus.
I know Marianne. I like.
But the fact is, she's an also ran. That's what happened. And this guy, Jason Palmer, I've never heard of the guy before, and apparently he's somewhat well known in the American Samoa. He's from Baltimore.
Well, he had to beat.
That's right. He beat the Live Walter. I mean, that's what happened.
That's right.
But it says something about his campaign.
What would you think if you saw me wearing my mega hat and carrying a broom? What would you think? What's that symbolically? A broom, yeah.
That you're about to remake Mary Poppins with Trump playing the Dick Van Dyke role.
I think it represents a clean sweep.
Well, that's it.
Oh, very good.
9-0.
Neither, though. Well, oh yeah, that 9-0. Now, the last time I remember holding a broom was when was in 1995 after the Stanley Cup playoffs, where the New Jersey Devils swept the Detroit Red Wings. By the way, in that strike-shortened season.
Uh-oh.
Well, you have a good memory. Oh my!
For fighting words. Oh my!
I thought it was hilarious.
Well, we're going to have a border incident.
Well, so the interesting thing is I was on the ice when the Detroit Red Wings won the cup.
Okay. Oh, cool. So
part-time security team. They asked me to go on the ice. So I went on the ice and I was in the middle of the ice rink. My brother, who has bought season tickets for like 14 years in the nosebleed section, comes down to the plastic window there. He's pounding on the window. One of the security guys said, "Hey, somebody's screaming at you, screaming your name." And I turned around. It's my brother. And he goes, "How does this happen? I've been buying for 14 years here on the ice. And I never got one autograph," because if you're doing security, you don't ask for autographs. Your job is security, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're talking about survival and readiness and prepping. Want to change the subject a little bit. So I would think, because you have so much experience in this, when you're watching, like a lot of these movies that they have, the theme is about like the end of the world and there's like the lone survivor or the small little family surviving. When you're watching those, what do you think? Like, what's your take on those? And are any of those about survival from your own personal experience, do you think any of those are like even remotely realistic? I'm trying to think of some of them.
There's different versions. I mean, who knows what somebody's going to do in a situation like that, but there's a couple of good ones that I've watched. There's tidbits that I pick up on. There's other times I say, I wouldn't do that. I don't watch the movie when they talk about, what do you call them? Democrats or, I'm sorry, The Walking Dead. That's it.
The Walking Dead.
I don't watch those. Okay. Well, I don't watch them, but some people have told me there's a lot of survival stuff they do in there. Right. It's very common sense.
I've seen a couple and there's some of it in there.
Yeah. So there's, what I've suggested to people, if you really want to plan on survival and see what it's like, turn off the internet, turn off your TV, shut off your electricity, shut off your running water if you have city water or sewer, right? And if you can go a week without, it depends on your teenagers, but if your teenagers are freaking out because they can't get on their cell phones, you just tell them to sit tight. Prepare, because this is what it would be like in a scenario like that. I have one of our, like I said, we're at a training or a testing facility. And one of my, our test subjects is now for 6 months has gone strictly on a basic diet of so many calories a day that and he only eats those what we consider survival food, canned goods, dry goods, you know, stuff that'll last a while. Right. Very rarely does he use fresh meat unless we slaughter a chicken, right? So this is, and he's doing good, and he's lost about probably 75 pounds. So this is what it would be like if you are in a scenario.
Yeah. And, I like that idea.
Don't plan on speaking about the government.
Your internet connections. Turn off all electronics and see how you would do.
Right. And you're going to have to deal with, like at this facility, that we have board games, lots of decks of cards, right? And we also have to understand, as much as, since we're talking about government and politics, is you got to ask yourself, and God bless those people, that first responders that come out, but in a emergency situation like that, you can't count on first responders to be there immediately, because they're going to be taking care of a lot of people. And you have to, right, you have to at least get through 3 to 7 days. And like it spoke earlier in the first segment, I told my grandkids all, and my daughter and son-in-law, all they have to do is get from their house to my house. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 years ago, my whole family's trade did this, right? Bapa's not crazy, right? I'm not crazy. He's prepared. They all got, for Christmas, they got an Army 3-piece sleeping bag and a go bag backpack with compass, 3 days of long-term food, water filters. What else did they get? Pocket knife, all kinds of stuff. They thought it was the greatest Christmas That's they've cool. ever had. And then this, this last year, I hardly got them anything. I said, you all set up. Now, my grandkids are involved in, you know, some kind of scouts, a trail life or something like that.
Oh, that's good.
And their mess kit, they need their mess kit and their shovel and their backpack and their sleeping bag. And it's always there for them. All they have to do is pull it off the hook. They're ready to go.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, no, so I forgot to mention, I have next to my guns.
Right.
A grab bag that has enough stuff that I can just throw in a truck and go, plus an actual propane tank and a small heater I can throw in the back and be gone with enough stuff to last for at least 3 or 4 days by just grabbing and go. So that's a great idea. I forgot to mention that. And also, speaking of scouts, my son, my oldest son, Alexander, who's turning 30 next week. Oh, I roll. He's a fireman and medic, but he started off as a Eagle Scout. And Kerry, he learned all sorts of effective survival stuff as an Eagle Scout. And he talks about that. I can't say anything bad about people who want to invest in learning outdoor skills as a child or having your kids do it. I think it's great.
You know, in the situation where you're going to bug out, right? You have to have a place to go. So you not only first aid kit, as you mentioned, Elizabeth, also have a map, a city map, right? So you can get out of the city.
Real
you
should maps. Have that
go bag. In fact, all that is pretty much covered in the book, right?
It's, in the book, we, right? Yeah. The good thing is, we live in a country. So I know we want to go into Tony's takes, but real quick, what caliber ammunition for survival for 22 long rifle?
22 caliber long rifle. That's going to do rabbits, squirrels, turkeys, wild turkeys.
We have shotgun, four of them.
Shotgun will do ducks, of course, turkeys, deer, if you use double odd buck or a slug, right? Mm-hmm. And that's good for about 100 yards if you're practicing. And what else? And the survival skills, my son is out in Colorado. He's a part-time cowboy. He works for Breckenridge, right? But he's full-time Breckenridge, but he helps manage a 3,700-acre cattle ranch. And every year he gets an elk. And he does he learned the butcher, right? So you have to know, or at least have some kind of diagram or something that tells you how to butcher a deer. Or what do you have down there? You probably have North Carolina. What do you have? You have
North Carolina.
or Virginia. You're in Virginia, North Carolina. Well, Virginia, you have a lot of deer.
She's near Richmond, and I'm down south of Norfolk. I'm about an hour south of Norfolk. So.
Okay.
Well, you need to stick with the box on top, and when the animal goes under it, just pull it. You don't need a gun for that. Then you strangle it and kill it with your bare hands. That's what you should be doing.
No,
all right.
No, look, I've got a ring. So,
he's right, but you know.
This
is something that I've got. This is a 30-30, and it's for small game and rabbits and stuff like that. And this is very practical. You know, I've got the thing. This is not like a high performance weapon, but it's good for hunting. Yeah, so something like this is
kind of my survival weapon.
Yeah, right. This is a 30-30.
Well, here's the thing.
Tony,
that's a good weapon. That's a good weapon to have. All right.
Yeah.
But for Elizabeth, you can buy 500 rounds of 22 long rifle ammunition for the price of probably 50 rounds for that 30-30.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's load Tony up with some ammunition. How about that?
Tony's takes.
50 rounds of 30-30.
Tony's takes is powered by Tony's takes is powered by Sig Sauer. Never settle.
Never settle.
The only thing we're doing is probably settling when it comes to a Secretary of State, though.
Tell me more.
I was watching Tony Blinken talk with the press along with the Qatari Prime Minister. Okay, and his name's too long for because we're getting close to the end of the show. I'm not sure if I can pull that off right now. But the guy is actually supposedly trying to deal with the Houthi strikes on commercial vessels, non-combatant commercial vessels. And he's but what he's doing is appealing to their heartfelt nature. He's going to plead with them. He pleaded with them to stop. He's like, guys, please stop. Here, don't take my word for it. Let's hear from him.
A ship that they attacked is now sunk to the bottom, and the result of that is that there's a huge fuel slick from that ship. So that's creating a potential environmental disaster. At the same time, we've seen the Houthis attack ships that are bringing food, grains, to the people of Yemen, the very people that the Houthis purport to, in some fashion,
need some violence represent. Background.
And of course, it's had a dramatic impact on shipping around the world. That's going to have an impact for a lot of people and higher food prices, energy prices. But in Yemen itself, in the region itself, environmental disaster and a huge impact on the ability to get food to people who so desperately need it in Yemen. So if the Houthis care at all about their own standing, their own reputation, the way in which they're seen by the world, they will stop these attacks and stop the terrible damage that it's doing to people in the region, people in Yemen, people around the world.
Oh, sure they will. What's your take,
if
Tony?
If they cared. If
yeah,
they
so, cared. Yeah, two don't. Things. First, I think it would have been, I think if they really wanted to say this sincerely, they should have had SpongeBob say it. I think coming from SpongeBob, the sincerity would have been much greater, you know. And and he could have had Patrick there to kind of stand next to him. Hey, SpongeBob. And it would have been a lot more. That's first off. And secondly, I had no idea that when boats sank, they sank to the bottom. I had no idea. This was very educational.
Yeah, right.
Terry, did you know that when ships sink, they sink to the bottom? This is very beneficial.
That's what Navy guys told me. Hearing.
I had no idea.
Yeah, Navy guys told me.
Wow.
it sometimes happens, I have to tell you. But thanks to Anthony Blinken, we now know that we can appeal to the human side of every terrorist. Maybe we could talk to Hamas the same way.
Yes.
Maybe they care about their standing. And if you guys ever want to be hired by UNRWA again, then
I know we can get please. Sally Struthers. Remember those commercials?
I got to get my Navy friends on the phone to let them know that ships sink to the bottom. I did not know that. Yep. That is so interesting. Wow.
I'm sure they didn't know it either.
Unbelievable.
Anyway.
All right. Emmanuel Macron walked back his remarks about the possibility of sending Western troops to Ukraine. We talked about this last week. It was opening. Now he says, my bad. I was just trying to open debate. I'm paraphrasing, but basically that's what happened. Tony,
yeah,
your take.
So I find it interesting that that he would say this about horse eating surrender monkeys. I don't know. I don't know if they would be up to the task. Can I say that on the air? Did I say that? Oh my God. But seriously, I mean, dude, I mean, you guys really haven't been doing all that well. Dem Bien Phu comes to mind. And I think 1939, 1940, it's not a really good track record, just saying. So maybe if the Ukrainians want to surrender, that's when you send the French in.
When the Ukrainians want to surrender, you send in the French.
Right. When you're ready to surrender, the French are going to show up. Okay, we'll help you with that. We know about surrender. We'll show you how to do it.
They'll send the white flags. What they're going to do is sew the masks they haven't used.
The white
in a
flag
long time
brigade.
Into white flags. There we go.
All those white masks that the CDC says you don't have to wear
that's
anymore.
Right. Oh, my. We're going to be in so much trouble.
Well, here you go. Another one, Tony. Was it not fun watching Rachel Maddow, Jamie Raskin, Representative Swalwell, Keith Olbermann, and other lefties had that collective meltdown over the Supreme Court decision you mentioned a while ago? The unanimous one, reversing states' rulings to take Donald Trump off the respective ballots. It's fun watching them go into a tizzy, isn't it?
It is. Now, one of the notable features of the left flaming. Go ahead, Kerry. Please, you jump right in.
No, I was just going to say, Rachel Maddow and I are friends. She used to put me on her program almost weekly about the reindeer farmer congressman, right? And I finally figured out why she was so upset with me. She had asked for something. Well, she asked for something at Christmas that Santa doesn't deliver because we're a family business, right? We're family oriented. We don't deliver adult kind of gifts that she was asking for. You know, adult toys. I'm sorry, we don't do that. Yeah. So
I guess you guys don't deliver turtles either then, right?
All right. I'm not gonna be able to sleep for the next few days or eat. Thank you.
The best way to get rid of Rachel Maddow is throw water on her and watch her melt, you know.
I'm melting and I can't get up.
So, Kerry, does she really wear?
I'm melting.
Yeah, it,
very good.
So, does she wear Old Spice or taco sauce? I'm just curious about that.
You're going. I think none of that. I wanted to go. I thought I was treading water on the adult toys. Oh my goodness! This is a wonderful show. I love this. You're gonna have me back.
Yes, absolutely.
We will. If we don't get kicked off the air, how about that?
Oh my!
Okay. You'll just have to find a boat to take you 50 miles offshore.
That's right. We'll do pirate radio, Chris. We'll get our own little ship off of the coast and broadcast into the interior of America and Cuba.
I can do it.
Yar me hearties.
We do. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. 2 minutes left. Let's do a lightning round here.
All right.
Finally, even reporters are pressing Karine Jean-Pierre for Joe Biden's over-reliance on note cards.
Yeah.
I've noticed it. It looks really bad now. But what's your take? She was funny. Ooh, she was trying to. She always tries hard to defend this. Then she starts talking in circles and says, "This is a president who cares about the people, and he's done so much for the border, and he's done so much for the people." Because you know why? Because this is a president who does things. What's your take?
So I think Joe Biden is the most effective president if you actually count how many times he's actually had to use orthopedic shoes as a tool. I mean, no other president I know has done so well using orthopedic shoes because they don't want him to trip on anything. And even if you have a noodle on the floor, that will trip him up. So I think he's the best salesman for orthopedic shoes ever in the history of the presidency. Yep. Harry, anything from you on Joseph Robinette Biden?
Stumbling, mumbling, bumbling Biden. No, yeah. I'm looking forward to when Trump's takes office again. I am so looking forward to that. That's where my head's at.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Yep. So. Unless they replace Biden with somebody else. But we'll see what happens.
Oh my!
I'm convinced that they are riding with Biden, even if it means going over the cliff. It's like the scene in Thelma and Louise, like we're going over the cliff.
Well, there's a lot of sense to that. And that could be another whole show.
That could be another whole show. Well, but this show is done. Kerry Bentivoglio, former congressman, thank you for being here. And I think our audience has learned a lot. And while we were talking, I've ordered two copies of your book, Family Emergency Disaster Preparedness Plan. No, you can go check. You go check your numbers. I literally just ordered it.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. The proceeds go to Harvest Foods, which is a community organization to help people get local food, right? Local grown.
Oh, cool.
And we use the money for our off-grid preppers test facility up here in northern Michigan. 80 acres of the most desolate, forest you can get in northern Michigan. God bless you. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I am no Democrat, so I actually follow through when I say I'm going to do something. Anyway, and I'm going to take a copy and send it out to Cherie for her adventure out and out looking for her new place too. We've had a great show today with Kerry. We've been joined obviously with Chris Cordani and Elizabeth Breckenkamp, the same crew, and it's been a great time. I hope you all learned something. I hope you'll come back next week when we'll have another compelling and interesting guest. I think we've got, I don't want to say who it is because things get kind of jumbled up sometimes, but I think you're going to like the next week guest we got coming. He's very compelling and fun. And so that's it for this week's The Hard Truth. Check back with us soon, and stay safe.